He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it, with seven channels to the lights. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." I asked the angel who talked to me, "What are these, my lord?" He answered, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my lord," I replied. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, 'Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.' What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of 'God bless it, God bless it.'" Then the word of the Lord came to me, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range throughout the earth." Then I asked the angel, "What are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand?" Again I asked him, "What are these two olive branches beside the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil?" He replied, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my lord," I said. So he said, "These are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth."
Morning, everyone. Thank you. Well, so John Mark started the service with this verse, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." And then we have this reading from Bruce, which includes all kinds of crazy stuff like a lampstand, seven lights shining out, a couple of trees, a mountain, a plumb line. And you think, well, on first reading, I thought, what on earth is going on here? But you look at that verse, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." And although you might think, yeah, that sounds very nice, actually, you might also think, well, here is something that potentially has great meaning for me and to help me in my Christian walk. And so what does it mean? So this morning I'd like to try and explore this a little bit. And to do that, to let you in on what I'm planning to do, the first half of what I'm going to say won't address the passage at all. So when I start looking at this passage, you'll know we're round about halfway, depending on how much I deviate from my notes. Anyway, I think I'll pray and then get started properly. Lord, will you give us an encounter with you through your word? Father, thank you that you have written to us to preserve our life and to give a lamp to our path. And I pray that this will enrich our walk with you this morning. Amen. Have you ever started something and then not finished it? I mean, I'm sure of us actually can say yes to this straight away. Can you think of any projects you've begun in earnest, but for whatever reason you've left abandoned? Maybe it's just shifted down your list of priorities and you meant to do it, but you just haven't got round to finishing it. Or maybe you've come across some kind of obstacle which just meant, no, it's not worth it. It's too hard to finish it. For a lot of people, it seems to be DIY. I've got some friends who, if you look carefully, you'll see half of their back door is painted and then half is incomplete. Just haven't got round to finishing it. You see all these kind of seems to be various programs on telly at the moment about doing out your house or that kind of stuff, and how, you know, there are these DIY disasters and they need professionals to come in and fix it. Or perhaps more like me, it's reading books. I remember one time, a few years ago, I was standing up here, someone had asked me to do a book review, and I was earnestly kind of saying how much this book had helped me, and it had helped me a lot. But I had to admit that I was only three quarters of the way through and I hadn't managed to finish it. And to my shame, I still haven't finished that book, but it's on my list to do. You know, you start reading one and then something else comes along and you just don't manage to finish it. And it just seems, in the end, it's easier to start reading something new because you've forgotten most of what's been said and, you know, you want a new start anyway. Well, how about with our spiritual lives? I mean, for those of you who are Christians, I'm sure you can think of those times when you felt so close to God, when you've resolved to give your life wholeheartedly for Him, you know, holding that passion that determines you're never going to give up. You're willing to make those sacrifices to live for Him. You're going to live a radical life. And then bit by bit, other things creep in. It goes down the list of priorities. In a struggling world, we struggle to follow God completely and we start to compromise. Have you ever made a decision to follow God wholeheartedly and then just realized, I can't live it out on a daily basis? Maybe even questioning, is it actually worth finishing the job? Or will I be able to finish it? You know, while you're singing your worship songs, you allow your mind to wander. Instead of really loving God and praising Him with all your strength, you leave the praying up to someone else. A day goes by and you just haven't made time to meet with God, and then another, and then another, and before you know it, it's weeks and even months when you haven't prayed, you haven't read your Bible, but you still believe and you still want to follow Him. It's just, it's too hard. Sometimes it's like that. 3 or 4 years ago, I remember a period of several months, desperately thinking, I'm not sure if I can do it. Thinking, it's too hard. Jesus demands us to give up our dreams of comfort, security, self-fulfillment, and to take on board His dreams instead. And I'd been through that cycle of close to God and far from Him and success and failure too many times, and I just decided it was too hard. There were too many obstacles. And I almost gave up. But actually, I couldn't. There's something within me that says, even though I think it's too hard, it's worth it. And there are encouragements that we can take directly from God's word. For example, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And that is truth. There's no ambiguity there. If God wants us to do something, if He wants us to follow Him, He offers us the means to do it. But for me, the question then is, how do I take hold of those resources that He offers to live out the life that He demands? So we're going to look at this verse that for a long time has given me great encouragement, which is why I decided to preach on this verse, that gives some insight into answering this question, not complete insight, but some. And whether we're setting ourselves up for a fall by trying to be a Christian, trying to follow God in our own strength alone, or whether completely obeying Jesus just seems beyond us, here is an instruction that helps to set us free. So, this is something that God says through the prophet Zechariah to His people. And first of all, we'll look at the situation surrounding this prophecy. So, here's the situation. Ever since the Garden of Eden, we've seen Israel, God's people, struggling with the same issue. At times they've been close to Him, at times they've been far from Him. And if you read the whole of the history of the Old Testament, we see this kind of wavering line of following Him and then falling away. And eventually, from time to time, God sends His prophets and says, look, be careful. If you don't follow me, then it will go bad for you. And eventually, God allows His people to go into exile. They're kind of abandoned for a while. The Jews were defeated by the Babylonians. And then, as John Mark said, there was a period of about 70 years. And then he allowed them to start returning again because the Persians then defeated the Babylonians. So God enables the exiles to return. And in this whole kind of exile period, when they were defeated, the temple was destroyed. Jerusalem's walls were destroyed. God brings them back. And He leads the Jews in rebuilding the temple. And at first, things are going really well. If you want to read the story, you can look it up in Ezra, fairly short book, about 12 chapters. And in Ezra 3, We see that God's people, they're all contributing, they're all working together. They are afraid of the enemies living around them still, but they sacrifice their offerings, they hold a festival to God, they pay the workers, and they finish the foundation, and they're all celebrating. It says all the people gave a great shout of praise to God, saying, "He is good, his love endures forever." But soon, perhaps like us, discouragement creeps in. What we first read is, in fact, it's discouragement from within the church, from within God's people. Just a kind of hint of it, we read in Ezra, some of the older Jews, instead of celebrating with all the others when the foundation were laid, they're weeping because the temple just wasn't going to be as big and as good as last time. Slight discouragement there, maybe. And then later on, we see that it gets worse and worse. The enemies living around Jerusalem start to discourage them. They hire counselors to work amongst them and frustrate their plans. And eventually they write to the newest king of Persia to complain, and the king decrees that they should stop building. And so the leader of the Jews, Zerubbabel, gives up. So this is where we are when what happens is that God comes along, well, obviously he's already there, and he says, "Look, I want you to build my temple. This is what I want, and you are going to do it." And he sends two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, to encourage them. So let's look again at Zechariah 4. You may want to grab a Bible, or you may want to just listen. And I'm going to reread verses 2 and 3 of it. I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it, with seven channels to the light. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and one on the left." So we see a gold lampstand, seven lights, fueled by this bowl of oil. And then, so the oil is going from the bowl into the lamp, and then lights are shining out from that. And then this bowl is being supplied by the source of oil, two olive trees, one either side. So perhaps, I don't know if you can try and imagine that. Well, what does this mean? Reading it in the context of verse 6, we see, which is the verse, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit," we see Zerubbabel, the leader of the Jewish people, is instructed to work in God's strength, in God's spirit, not his own. So how do we do this? Well, the strapline is, we are to be God's lampstand. He provides his oil to flow through us and his light to burn out on top. And our job isn't to kind of muster up the light and isn't to somehow source all of this. Our job is to just stand, and simply just to stand being that lampstand. We read there's an endless supply of oil. It's represented by these two trees. And often oil represents the Holy Spirit. And in this case, the emphasis is on oil being a fuel for the light. I don't know, think about some of your heroes of faith. Those men and women, maybe you've read about, maybe you know personally, who managed to keep on going. We read some fantastic stories. George Muller, who founded this church, is an obvious one to pick, who kept going through his entire life, through death of his wife and all kinds of circumstances. He kept going and he kept serving God. And God used him to build five massive orphanages up on the top of the hill. Or all kinds of other people. Brother Yun enduring torture and hardship, and he could have just given up. How do they keep going? Well, I think it's a lot to do with a conscious choice of will. To accept it's too hard. It is too hard in our own strength. But that we're willing to trust God to support us and to step out, like Peter stepping out of the boat, to say, okay, I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to trust that God will support us. I mean, the Bible is very clear. It does say categorically that we have, if you're a Christian, you have God's Spirit living in you. It's our choice to walk in step with the Spirit. Well, think about also in this passage, there are these two olive trees or olive branches. And there are different theories about this. One theory is that one of them represents Zerubbabel, the leader of the Jews at the time. One represents Joshua, so representing the royal and the priestly roles within God's people. Some say that they represent the Father's messengers, as in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Some say they could even be the two witnesses in Revelation that breathe fire from their mouths. And to be honest, I don't know. But I do know that it represents an unending supply of oil, an unending supply of God's resources that he promises to us. And I think that's really encouraging. So, are we going to decide to draw on these resources? Are we going to make that conscious decision of will to get that quiet time with him, to soak in his presence, to fix our gaze on him, to absorb ourselves in his word? Not trying to achieve it under our own strength or own will alone, but trusting, you know, where God promises, our job is to believe it. Trusting, believing that God will resource us to do what he's asked us to do. So the vision also explains there are these seven lights on the lampstand. It's the oil burning. It's not us, it's the oil. It's God's resources and God's providence shining out. And again, this is for us to think about, not, as I said, not mustering up some kind of fruit on our own, but trusting that if we simply do what, if we do what God asks us to do, he will be glorified and his light will shine out. I mean, the Bible already says we are the light of the world. So Zerubbabel, basically, he's told to stand, to allow God to work through him and to see God's light shine out of him. One final point before I finish. Remember, this is a public prophecy. It's not just God speaking to Zerubbabel. It's God speaking to a whole nation. I mean, yeah, he mentions Zerubbabel because he is leading this work. But when Zerubbabel stopped building, so did all the other Jews as well. And it's God talking to his whole people, together be that lampstand, together stand, and together soak up. Enjoy the oil that he provides. Let it flow through you and let it shine out the other side. So it's a message for God's people, for us all to stand. And it's a message for us as well, as his church, as his body, to stand together. Each of us playing our own part. Each of us thinking proactively, supporting one another to achieve God's glory. I mean, it's true. God uses individuals. But he has commissioned us as a body, as a church together, to be separate from the world. And we need to depend, to interdepend on each other. So really, from this, I think the question is, will we consciously choose to rely on God's resources rather than giving up, or rather than just doing it in our own strength? I think I'll leave it there and pray. God, thank you that this is your living word, that you promise to sustain us. Lord, thank you that we have this picture of an endless supply of oil coming from olive trees, the source of oil, Lord, flowing through us and shining out. God, will you help us to stand, to allow your oil to flow through us? And God, will you burn brightly within us? Amen. Okay, I think perhaps we could finish with Purify My Heart, if that's okay. After the service, I understand there are going to be various folk over there to pray with people. Please, make use of that if you want to, or just pray with someone that you know is a Christian, or you can come and talk to me. That'd be great.
Have a time, a short time to respond to that. To remember what God has done in the past, what He promises to do even now. If you're anything like me, it's so easy to get dry and to, I suppose, in a sense, not spend time with those olive trees, as it were. Not to allow those the oil from them just to flow through us and to burn brightly the other end. Sometimes it takes a bit of time to spend with God before we feel His Spirit speaking to us. What is our prayer now before this God? Not by might nor power, by my Spirit.
I choose to be.
Lord God, as we go out from this place and into this next week, we do ask again, as we've been doing this morning, that you would, I suppose, that you'd begin by washing us, taking off our filthy rags. But then, Lord, that you would again, that we would know that we are made as priests, people who have these, linked to these olive trees, as it were, the source of oil pouring into our lives, that it might light the world around us. Oh Lord, we, as we enter this week, Lord, we ask you'd equip us and inspire us to spend time with you, Lord, to spend just that time in the quiet. Know that it is not by might nor power, but by your Spirit. Amen. Well, let's retain something of what we've encountered of God. And there's tea and coffee out the back, and there's a chance to be prayed for by people here, or maybe by somebody whom you know and trust. Thanks.